that's not a bad way to travel. Only now I can't see.
Me neither. Brilliant. Ow! Oh, hell! There are boxes stacked up all around us. They're heavy boxes.
Sorry, is it dark or have we both been blinded?
I can't wait to find out.
Is everyone else all right? Leela?
Doctor, your friend broke the connection at the moment we teleported, so she and Abby aren't here.
Ah. Then where are they?
Well, they could be anywhere in time and space, but then so could we. And without Abby, I don't have any powers, so we're stuck here in the dark. Oh, but hey, at least we can't do anything so completely unreasonable as using our powers to help people. Happy now?
I'd be happier knowing where we are. No airflow. It tastes a bit stale. We're in a sealed chamber.
Oh, then the air will run out and we're dead.
If we don't find an exit, I still can't see anything. Feel around. Perhaps you might hit a light switch.
Nothing. More boxes. We must be in a cupboard.
Given the echo, something a bit larger. Probably a storm.
Still nothing. We could call for help.
Then there would be questions. It's surprising how cross people can be when they find you hiding in their stuff.
No, we don't want to be sentenced to death twice in one day.
Not if we can help it. So, carefully. Quietly.
Oh, well done.
Oh, sorry, but I found a wall. Metal wall. Corrugated. Oh, this is a shipping container. Excellent.
Oh, don't tell me. You've always dreamed of being trapped inside one of these in total darkness.
Doesn't everyone? These things are a standardized size and shape and have a standardized door. We'll be out in no time.
Now what are you doing?
Heading in the direction of what should be the door.
But, Doctor...
Yes, you better follow me. It's not difficult, so long as you... Ow!
If you listen to me for once...
Don't worry. Almost there. Here we are. I just need to reach down and... Oh. There isn't a door.
No, genius. It's at this end. Just where we were standing.
Ah, good. Right. I've still learned something useful. Some of these boxes are cold, refrigerated cold, so they contain perishable goods, which tells us something, probably.
There's a handle here. Hang on. Oh, well, that should release two bolts at the side and open the door.
Yes, but carefully. We don't know what's out there. Close it, quickly.
It won't budge. Whoa, that's Earth.
We're in a crater on the moon where there isn't any air. Can you teleport again, Zara?
Out there! A spaceman!
Zara! Zara! No. Anyway, not a spaceman. That's a Sontaran.
Intervene.
Leela, I don't know where or when they are. It could be anywhere. Well, we are trapped in here with this lot.
We will feed. We will feed.
Any ideas?
Yes. Brody dropped this.
A butter knife.
I used to be skilled with a knife.
No. Wait. See? It passed right through.
We are creatures of smoke.
I aimed for the panel behind you.
What was that meant to do? Extraction fans. It's gonna pull them apart!
You will stop this.
I do not know how, and you, creatures, show no mercy to the thousands you kill every day.
We must feed. We will.
We must go too. Quickly!
What's happened? Everything's on fire!
We do not have one thing to be done. Come on!
We can't leave! Leader, the people here!
We do not have the means to defeat the smoke creatures.
The people need our help!
We have no advantage and would only be killed. There is nothing more we can do here, so...
Take us back! Please! We can't just run away!
There and there and move this and... We must prioritize! Find the Doctor and Zara!
They could be anywhere! Where would we even start?
Your powers leave a trace, like a scar on space-time. The teleportation is recent, but the scar is already faded.
There's something wrong with the vortex! Because we scarred it with our powers!
When you use your powers repeatedly in one place, you whip up a storm!
That's why we have to die! That's your mission, isn't it? The Doctor is meant to convince us we're too dangerous to carry on!
You read our thoughts without our consent!
We didn't mean to!
Then your powers are out of control! This is their effect!
The scar, it's almost gone!
But I have a course. If we can hold to it...
Well, will that be enough? Just heading in the right direction?
It is all I can do. But the TARDIS and the Doctor are connected. She will do her best to find them.
As long as they're all right.
Come through to the main section. There is equipment there to repair failed humans, if you know how to work it. No, use it on yourself. It is too late for that one. Humans die after approximately 94 seconds without oxygen. You are also affected by cold, radiation, lack of atmospheric pressure...
And yet, here we are. Come on, Zara.
It is good you can speak. I have questions for my report. When I arrived, you were breaking up the contents of the container.
Refrigerated boxes. The carbon dioxide. Lass something up to. Convert it to oxygen.
And the packing materials protected your exposed hands and faces.
Not very well. Enough to last till you reached us.
Then you knew I carried a respirator. You are a spy.
I just hoped you'd have something.
Hope? Hope is no match for planning and strategy. I have studied your species. You hope your comrade will survive, so you waste these resources. But the human body cannot possibly withstand...
That's it. Deep breaths.
Alive, perhaps. But lack of oxygen will have damaged the brain.
No, all looks normal. If I knew what normal was for her. Neither of us are quite like the humans you might have studied before.
Yes. Yes, you are clearly some new modification.
I think she'll be all right.
That is unexpected. Perhaps you would both benefit from tea.
Sorry? What?
Tea. It has many proven benefits to your species.
If you're offering to make it, that would be very kind.
The facilities are intact and I have the method written down. Milk is added last.
Zara, can you hear me?
I heard everything. Sontarans on the moon. That is not good.
Sontaran. Singular, so far.
Right. So what's the plan? You want the Sontaran to think we're modified humans.
If we're not something special or useful, we're dead.
But he thinks we are. So he's all nice and putting the kettle on.
Don't let that fool you. Look at the medical kit. It's designed for humans. This moon base is for humans. The photos, the graffiti. There were humans here.
But not anymore.
Just our friendly host. Helping himself to their tea.
Maybe? Somewhere unstable. What is that smell?
People living in close habitation inside this machine.
Do you know where we are?
No. But if the TARDIS is working properly, this is the closest safe space to the Doctor.
If it's working properly.
And if she could even sense it.
Whoa! Earthquake! Volcano? What do you think?
That with all the TARDIS has been through, she might not understand. Safe.
Oh, let's find the others quickly and get out of here. You said people living in close habitation somewhere here.
They should have fled, whatever is happening. If not, they must not know we are here. We do not want to get involved.
Leela.
All right, it is good to help people, and I do not like leaving those people behind.
No, but... I mean, there's a bloke. Over here, with a gun.
Good afternoon, ladies. If you'd care to come with me.
How long have we been here?
In all, or since you last asked? Be patient. Someone will come.
You can sit there enjoying the view. It's only rocks and dust. Early years of colonization, and the plumbing is going to be basic.
But the planet there in the sky. My ancestors came from Earth seeing it like this. A bright jewel in the darkness. It is hard to believe that they left.
You don't see it like that unless you leave orbit. I don't think the people on this ship came for the view.
It is not a ship. Down there. We crawl across the moon dust a segment at a time.
It's like a giant caterpillar. Why not just have wheels? I suppose that explains the earthquakes. It's because we lurch along.
I'm not so sure. There is something happening here, I feel it.
Oh, well, have you got powers too?
Right, sorry to keep you waiting. There's been another attack.
I knew it. Who attacked you?
Well, it wasn't us. You don't need that gun.
I'll hold on to it all the same. I'm Captain Rhea Nehru, and you're on my vehicle without prior consent. I'm guessing you're new Leapers.
What is a Leaper?
That's us. New Leapers. Brand new. Hi.
Then that's straightforward. Good. If you've nothing more to add, I'll have you put off the vehicle.
What? What do you mean? Out there?
Yes, out there.
We will not survive.
No, but not my problem.
Well, it is if you're sending us out there.
You stay here. You use up oxygen meant for my crew. Let alone water, food, energy, whatever else you thought you might share. My duty is to my crew. And we've enough going on with the attack, so I'm afraid. Out you go.
But we didn't understand. Like you said, we're new Leapers.
Makes no difference. The alternative is that I shoot you here. But then someone has to clean up the mess.
We have our own vehicle, back where your crewmate found us. Let us return to it and we will leave.
If you've got your own vehicle, why are you here?
We're looking for two friends. Zara and the Doctor.
More stowaways.
If they're here, we'll take them with us. Wade?
Yes, Gov?
Have you found anyone else?
You're kidding. How many of them are there?
Two. Zara and the Doctor. Endeavour not to kill them.
Yeah.
They don't have weapons. They won't be any threat.
Sorry, say again?
Wade, where did you pick up these two?
Segment 1211, which was Jettison.
Yeah, all right. Get on with what you're doing. Out. Segment 1211 is long gone.
But our ship?
We let the whole section go.
I don't understand.
It is why the vehicle is like a long caterpillar. They jettison segments when they are attacked, rather than fight the attacker.
Fighting gets people killed.
You jettisoned the TARDIS, and we can't go back and get it.
We have to move on.
You are scared.
Yes, of losing more of my crew. That's why you're being put out.
This is very welcome. Thank you, Stenton.
We know your species' reliance on food and water. It might be withheld to weaken or kill you. We might add drugs or poison.
Ah, is that what this is?
Ah, you would be dead in seconds, and nothing you could do.
That would be a bad strategy. Killing us would serve no military purpose for the glorious Sontaran army.
My friend has been through a lot, which is why she's sounding...
Almost Sontaran. It is a marked improvement. Yet the need for food and water has not been addressed in your modifications.
We might just enjoy tea.
There is potential for an interesting experiment. Before my assignment here, I helped test new clone templates. I must see to my assignment.
Great. Now he wants to experiment on us.
I'm hoping it won't come to that. Are you all right? I'd forgotten you can be influenced by strong personalities.
Oh, that was ages ago. Now I do what I like. And if I had my powers, I could get him doing whatever we wanted.
But you don't have your powers.
They're only part of how you get in someone's head.
You try and match your victim's speech patterns and body language.
Mm-hmm. Sontarans are clones. They like it when things are the same. What's he up to anyway?
Computer, play intercept on speakers.
The wife says that years ago, media came in physical form, which you loaded by hand. Box set really was a set of episodes in a box.
Roger that. Flight 2491. Very interesting.
Anyway, this child's a master criminal, but you don't know that until episode 5.
The endless, unnecessary talk.
That's a flight from Earth, coming into land.
Given the unnecessary talk, a civilian craft, a passenger flight of no military value.
What are you going to do to it?
What would you suggest?
It has moderate shielding and no defences. All too easy to shoot down.
What? No!
That is why it is not an appropriate target.
It is most unsatisfactory. So I merely note the class and flight number, then cross-check the number of leapers.
What are leapers?
The passengers. There. The next inbound flight is not due for several hours, so we may return to Sontaran headquarters. Come.
Sontaran headquarters means more Sontarans, doesn't it? Oh, we really don't want to go there.
I want to know what they're up to, but probably not.
Come along, humans. There are spacesuits you can wear.
You needn't take us with you, Commander. We are so slow.
It would be more efficient to leave us here.
A commendable attitude? But you are both so intriguing. It seems a shame to eliminate you.
Sorry, what?
Obviously, if I am not taking you with me, I cannot let you leave.
You know, I think I would like to see your headquarters.
We will move as quickly as possible.
It will still be appreciably less efficient. But the spacesuits are just here. What now?
The suits are spattered with blood.
It will not affect their operation.
You killed the human crew of this base.
Some of them. My unit killed the rest. I am not proud of that.
You're not?
They put up only token resistance. They did not even have weapons.
This base has no military purpose. They did not require weapons.
Evidently they did when we engaged them. I am surprised by your attitude. Do modified humans still not appreciate the glory of warfare?
There's nothing glorious about what you did here.
You do understand. Good. We can hope for improvements in future.
I'm not sure I follow you.
I thought I had been clear. Follow me or die. So put on the dead human suits.
Keep moving. Hands where I can see them. I'll shoot you if I must.
That might be better than being dumped out there.
Neither is a good death.
Oh, because there are good ones.
Time Lords surrender their minds to the Matrix to be of benefit to all. Then there is fighting for what is right, or to defend yourself and those close to you.
I told you, there's no use fighting back. There aren't many attacks.
Not another one!
The last attack is not over.
It can sometimes go on for a while.
And you do nothing!
We get in their way, they cut us down.
Why are they attacking?
Piracy. They want resources, food, anything they can get.
And there's nothing like a police force or navy to stop them?
On the moon? No.
Captain, you have to come back!
Hello again. It's Wade, isn't it?
What is it, Tom?
They've come through the segment.
What? They never advance from the inside.
Did this time. Just ignore the bait.
Bait? What bait? What are you trying to do?
Doesn't matter. They want the whole transport.
We can cut them off if we lose this section. And soon. Just as well I caught you.
Back we go then, ladies. We'll put you out of Section 9.
It's not our day for being killed. Come on, Leela.
No. I will not go.
I still have the gun.
It would be a waste to shoot us here if we are to die. Grant us a good death. Let us face your attackers.
We can't fight them.
But we can.
Yeah. Do I get any say in this?
It's a while since I walked on the surface of the moon. I'd forgotten. It's so exhausting.
The dust is annoyingly sticky.
Sharp, with no weather to smooth it. It doesn't help that we're in a furrow following a well-trodden path. You've made this trip a lot, Commander.
Usually 3 or 4 times in each solar day. But your people are increasing the number of flights.
And you log each one. You don't attack or do anything else.
You asked this before. No. Now keep moving.
Moonwalking is overrated.
Yes. How much further?
It is right in front of us.
I see nothing but more rocks and dust.
Wait, there's something clever here. The shimmer in the air.
Good. Unmodified humans cannot see it at all.
It's like a heat haze, a mirage.
Another few steps and... Yes,
here we are.
I mean, very impressive.
Projection screens facing outwards so no one can see what you're doing here. What are you doing here? What is this?
Is it not self-evident? We are arranging the rocks in a concentric pattern of lines and waves.
I can see that, and combing the dust into swirls.
It must reach for miles. It doesn't seem defensive.
Oh, it serves no direct military purpose.
But it was made by Sontarans. What is it?
I would have thought you would know. The human word is garden.
What can you see?
Shh. There are three of them. They are Sontarans.
Oh, no. On the moon. Well, that must mean...
Quiet. You know the Sontarans.
They're ruthless. We're already dead.
I have fought them before, and won.
I'm guessing not single-handed.
They are stealing from you hardware, equipment, food.
We didn't realize at first, because all the different human settlements were raiding one another too. But the Sontarans are much better at it. So the settlements are all gone, and we'll stay on the move.
But it doesn't make sense. Sontarans don't eat human food.
Then they must want us to starve. How do we fight them?
We take them one at a time. They have a weakness, a vent in the back of their necks.
We have to get behind them.
Or we make them turn round. There is an old hunting trick.
Over here!
Humans.
It didn't work. They're coming this way.
There. It is an ambush.
They must have learned the trick.
Keep down.
We need to jettison this section.
No. We let them pass.
Captain, the operation. There's still a chance.
Wade! Tom, speak to me. Tom!
You promised you wouldn't lose anyone else.
He's dead. I'm sorry. What are you doing? He had... Here, one each. Pin them on your clothes. They mean you're on my crew. The Sontarans sometimes take prisoners.
Then you mean to surrender?
You surrender. I must stop them taking the whole transport. Captain, no!
Restrain the human.
They could have killed you! I had to take the chance.
What were you trying to do?
This section will be jettisoned.
Call the troopers back.
You're cutting us off from the rest of the vehicle. Got to save my crew.
Captain Nero, you must have known I would kill you for what you've just done. A bold and brave action. I salute you.
What? Then you're not going to...
Escort these three humans to the ground car.
It is mesmerizing to watch. Sontarans gardening.
We rake the moon dust according to simple geometric rules. The result is these intricate patterns.
The scale of it is extraordinary. How long have you been here?
For 7 orbits of the Earth.
For what purpose?
It was not our intention. Our ship was damaged in the war and sent off course. We woke from suspension to find ourselves here.
The garden is some kind of message, an SOS to be read from space.
No one can see it from outside the projection screens. Unless you finish the message, then shut off the screens.
You have inventive minds, but no. We are too far from the front for rescue to be an efficient use of resources. The pattern is without significance, beyond being pleasing to the eye.
It can't just be decorative.
Why not? Art is not a complicated notion, merely an expression of the dichotomy between form and function. What something is against what it is for.
I'm not sure I agree or that I want to argue aesthetics with the Sontaran. What is it for?
It will do no harm to tell you. Come. We shall pass the raking detail as we head to the enclosure. Take a closer look. See how slowly they rake. Sustaining the patterns requires care and concentration. That helps to focus our thoughts, our very being, on something other than war.
It is a distraction, as a kind of therapy.
Indeed.
Stent, are you saying your people here have given up on war?
We slip our bonds. Sentinels, we overpower the two Sontarans and we take charge of the car.
Nice idea. But my bonds are pretty tight.
Mine too. Sorry. Anyway, I think we must be here.
There's nothing out there.
No, look.
I can't see anything. What am I looking for?
Slight variations of the optical refractive index.
Twinkling in the air.
I really can't see anything, just more rocks and boulders. There's nothing...
Oh.
We passed inside the shielding, so now we can see it properly.
But what is it?
A Zen garden, or something like that. They have them on New Japan. I've never seen anything on this scale.
Sontarans till the moon dust.
Look! Groups of them. All over the place, raking. Why?
We could ask the driver. Or someone could.
I am not afraid of Sontarans. You, Sontaran, answer me. What is this place? What is its purpose?
I do not answer to humans.
I am Lady Leela of Gallifrey. I have fought in many more battles than you. Answer!
It is the garden. It's to look nice. I don't know. We're almost at the enclosure.
Thank you, soldier. Drive on.
You scared him.
Sontarans are conditioned for war. It determines their understanding and their responses.
You made him think you're the equivalent of a senior officer. Are you actually a soldier?
I am a warrior of the Sever Team. And defender of the laws of time.
I don't know what that means. But can you help us? All of us, here. Can you help us fight the Sontarans?
Then he asked if we had given up war.
That is somewhat amusing, because we will never give up war.
So, allow me to present to you my modified humans.
Hello. Thanks for welcoming us into your underground base. It's very nice to be here. I'm not one for making speeches.
That is somewhat amusing, because he rarely does anything else.
As you see, they are of a higher class than basic human fodder. They are fearless. They are proud. This one almost sounds like a Sontaran. In psychology, if not in physique, they are fighters.
Huh? Zara!
No!
She attacked Stent.
A simple judo throw. Are you damaged, Commander Stent?
I am merely surprised.
Then you acknowledge that you tactically misjudged my physique.
That concludes my demonstration most effectively. You all see the potential significance of these new human specimens? Now, we welcome questions. But the humans find it more agreeable to be questioned while drinking tea, as I shall demonstrate. Here.
Thank you, Commander. Who'd like to ask a question? Anyone?
Commander Stent, are the humans copying our own techniques to improve their templates?
That is a good question. I do not think that they are. Their binary reproductive system...
I know they are Stent rather than us.
We're aliens. What will we know about our own biology? Still, better this than them conducting experiments on us.
And we get a nice cup of tea.
You took quite a risk throwing Stent over your shoulder.
Oh, it was worth it for the look on his face. And now they respect us. You could help, you know.
Me? How am I not helping? You mean talk like a Sontaran?
Yeah. Look, it's not an impression, more just getting their attitude.
There would be military advantage in adopting such a stratagem. What?
Well, it needs some work, but I think we'll be fine.
This is Airlock 14. Follow it left, Dr. Airlock 1. And beyond that, you will find other humans. If that is everything...
Thank you, soldier.
Then I will leave you here.
You're not coming with us. He's scared of Leela.
I have other duties.
Well, it's been very nice knowing you. Thanks for the lift. He didn't even say goodbye.
The insignia I gave you both. I'll have them back now.
Oh, sure. Well, it was nice being part of your crew.
But you do not want to be responsible for us here.
I don't know where here is, or what we're going to find. And I still don't know who either of you are.
We're not with the Sontarans. But that one was scared of Leela.
Yes. As if she was an officer.
We are not working for them. Wait, no, you don't believe that. You want us to help you fight them. No, I know it, but I didn't read your mind.
Because it is obvious. And we will fight back. We can easily escape, see? There is no one to guard us.
Just the lunar surface. No suits. We go out there, we're dead.
Well then, I guess we see who else is here.
Do not expect to find the Doctor and Zara.
No, that would be too easy. Airlock 10, airlock 9...
Who are you two? You're not like anyone from Earth.
It is complicated. We are looking for our friends.
But you've beaten Sontarans before. You can help us here.
Captain, I'm not sure we can.
You can, but you won't help us.
It's not as simple as that.
Not you, her. Earlier, Leela, you were on at me for running away.
What would you have me do? Yes, I can help you fight. But that is not thinking strategically. We have no weapons, no advantage.
Airlock 2, airlock 1. Right, we're just up here then.
You've beaten Sontarans before.
Not alone. We would need an army.
Girls, through this door.
This is a lot of people!
The cyber leader then ordered his troops to eliminate Tegan.
Good. He exploited your weakness, your emotional bond.
That was his intention. But an individual life cannot sway the greater cause. Is that not correct, Doctor?
I asked him to spare her life.
A ridiculous notion. You surrendered yourself.
Then, later, when an opportunity presented itself, she helped eliminate the cyber leader. If she had been killed, the battle would have been lost.
This is interesting. We have evidence of improved outcomes in the field due to good morale within a unit. The use of anthems, even song. You suggest that emotional bonds provide an advantage.
Compassion is profitable.
I find it hard to believe.
Many sound strategies can seem counterintuitive.
True. True. Very well, I shall propose some experiments.
You mean experiments on human captives?
Not you. Humans of the ordinary sort.
We have a suggestion, but you would need to be brave.
I beg your pardon.
Commander, we do not doubt you. But would your comrades dare submit themselves to an experiment in emotional bonding?
It would dovetail with the gardening from which you already see favourable outcomes.
It would appear very unSontaran.
Exactly. Like a stealth attack. The bold elegance of it.
I'm not so sure. Perhaps once the human experiments are concluded... What is it now?
We can help you with those experiments. Perhaps there are efficiencies to be made.
The Sontarans provide you with food, which they steal from us.
Yeah, food's pretty good too.
So they've not been killing people. They bring them here and look after them.
They killed Wade, remember?
I'm not likely to forget. They kill some of us, but not all.
Captain Nehru, joining the party.
Oh, this is Polk, part of a faction who set up the Lake of Jord.
Our mining rights of the Lake of Winter. We've got it on a certificate.
A certificate from Earth? You're not even a leaper.
Oh, and if I was, you'd give up your claim.
Enough! It serves no purpose now. We are here together.
I am not together with someone who won't make the leap.
What does that even mean?
You said you were new leapers.
I thought if I said that, you wouldn't try to kill us. Not that it did any good.
What is the leap? Leapers?
How can you not know? Who are these two?
The moon is beyond the legal jurisdiction of Earth. But people who come here are bound by the laws of their countries of origin.
You sign agreements before you can get on a flight.
But that means you've always got one foot back on Earth. To settle permanently, independently, you make the leap and resign as an Earth citizen.
Thinking was that this would create a fraternal community. We'd all be lunar citizens.
But then the solar storms cut us off from Earth. There have been no flights to the moon in years, and so no more supplies. We're running low on food and everything else.
It was suggested that we work together until Earth can get through to us again.
But instead, you turned on one another. Your vehicle, it is not only attacked by Sontarans, it is attacked by everyone.
Everyone big enough. And if we catch up with someone smaller, then their stuff is ours. Make it sound like a game.
As long as no one fights back, no one need get hurt.
Then how are the Sontarans involved?
We don't know. We didn't even know they were here until they attacked my convoy and killed some of my people. The rest of us, they dumped here. We haven't seen them since.
They deliver food.
Don't make any sense. That's how things are.
We thought you'd been killed. That too many had been killed. So some of the older Leap settlements...
There aren't settlements anymore. Everyone's on the move.
Some of the older groups. We've been working together.
What?
No, that is good. You had a plan. Oh, we got in your way.
What? Then these two aren't part of your crew?
Of course not. Though she gave us badges for a while.
Badges?
They said they were new Leapers. Stowaways. But Leela is a soldier. The Sontarans are scared of her.
We were just looking for our friends, Zara and the Doctor.
Well, I'll be... Are you Abby and Leela?
We could ensure the experiments are conducted efficiently. Indeed, with no wastage at all.
Loss of human life is not a concern. But I admit, I find your insights fascinating.
We are conditioned to be useful. And we have technical skills. If it is not out of place to suggest it...
Please, you may speak freely.
We might have the ability to repair your ship. Then you could return to your war.
Now you have my attention.
If we accounted for relativistic effects, you would arrive the moment your ship went off course, as if you'd never been away.
Excellent! Excellent!
You could forget all about this miserable period among these primitive apes.
I suppose we would leave the humans behind us, unharmed.
It would be a sacrifice, but you do want to return to the war.
With my whole being! But imagine when we arrived, our report. We were on a moon with an intelligent species, and we failed to engage them in combat. Oh, the very idea!
You haven't engaged them. You're hiding.
It is part of the strategy. We cannot leave until the objectives are met. It would be dishonorable conduct.
I do not understand.
Then you truly do not think like some tyrants.
You want to fight, but if you announce your presence here, the Earth people will destroy you remotely using missiles.
That is our assessment.
So you hide, waiting for enough humans to arrive on the moon so there's a critical mass.
Enough of them for a satisfactory war. But they don't have weapons. It will be slaughter.
We cannot provide everything. It is the optimum solution.
It's completely unfair.
Zara, you surprise me. You seem to think like a Sontaran. But it is the Doctor who appreciates our commitment here. We must take the long view. I must return to the human facility. Another flight is due. But we shall continue this discussion. It is most intriguing.
You are such a teacher's pet.
I'm only doing what you said.
Aren't you pretty good at it? I think we're getting somewhere with them.
I hope so. I've seen Sontaran experiments before. A lot of people will die horribly if we don't stop them.
And we will. We'll get there. What?
My head is full of Sontaran. I don't know how much longer I can keep this up.
I'm sorry. There's been some mistake.
The Doctor would not collaborate with Sontarans. It is some clever scheme.
First the settlement, then the transport. Your friends tell the Sontarans what to attack next. The Sontarans follow their orders.
No, I will not believe it.
Your friends are why my people are dead or imprisoned here.
So you locked them up somewhere down there. That's what this place is.
The Sontarans did it to keep them safe from us.
No, impossible. The Doctor would never have...
At first, when we realised no more supplies could get through, we fought amongst ourselves. But it was soon obvious someone else was picking us off. When I was captured and brought here, the ones who'd been here longest told me. And then I've seen it with my own eyes. Your friends are only too eager to help. Everything we've suffered for years.
Years?
Yeah, Since before the solar storms cut us off from Earth.
They've been here for years.
We were following an approximate course, not coordinates. The TARDIS cannot have sensed him.
Years? Zara must have thought we were parted forever. You don't understand what that could do to her. It could drive her mad.
You can see for yourself. We're here.
Zara! Doctor! We found you at last! We never, ever gave up looking. Can't they hear us?
They look ill and thin.
Oh, they hear us. But we're not worthy of acknowledgement. This is what they do. Sit behind the glass, staring.
Doctor! Doctor! It is me, Leela. I will break down this glass.
There, he moved.
If you say so.
Zara! It's me! It's Abby! What have they done to you?
It said they were modified somehow. The Centaurans are always threatening to experiment on the rest of us.
How do we get in there with them?
No idea. The whole point is to keep us out.
The Centaurans go in there.
They never let us see. Maybe they don't.
The Centaurans bring you and the other humans food?
Yeah, so?
They also bring food to Zara and the Doctor.
But there's no slot or anything in this glass where they can post the food through. Mm. So they must go in.
There will be a mechanism.
Well, if there is, we've never found it.
Yeah, but no offence. The Centaurans think you're stupid.
Here. There are slight indentations. A keypad with three keys.
Well, I can't see anything.
Neither can I. I assumed that if there was something, it would be at Centauran height. Three keys. One is unmarked. The next has a groove down it. The next has two grooves.
So, some kind of entry code. Any ideas?
Doctor? Do you know the code? If I try at random, will the system kill me?
He's looking up. Look at the state of him. His eyes.
Three.
What did he say?
Three. Yes, there are three buttons.
10,000 in base three.
What is 10,000 in base three?
Oh, easy. 111.
You can't have worked that out in your head.
Yes, next.
201101.
We're through.
Doctor!
Zara! What's wrong with them?
They must have been drugged.
No, this is something else. I do not understand it.
It doesn't matter. I can break through it. Look, I just take Zara's hand and... nothing. No spark, no connection.
It does not matter. We get them on their feet. We get them out of here.
You can't take them out there. People will murder them.
Zara, talk to me. Please. That's it. She's responding. They're both responding. Say something. Anything.
Good evening, Commander Stent.
What?
Good evening, soldier. I hope I am not interrupting. These must be the friends you have told me so much about. Here, we oversee our operations and your human transports.
It's all of us. You know exactly where we all are.
The Doctor provided the means.
Doctor, how could you?
Human technology is simple to manipulate.
You betrayed us. I'll kill you!
A very commendable attitude.
Zara, you are under their influence. You don't know what you've been doing. You are not part of this.
Ordinary humans lack discipline and strategy. They are easy to manipulate.
Get off me! Get off!
Speaking of which, Captain Rhea Nehru, how good of you to join us.
So this is them. The Doctor and Zara. Enemies of the full moon.
Commander, this show of anger betrays her fear. She knows we are onto her.
Onto me how?
Doctor, please, whatever this is, do not.
It is all part of the strategy. Captain Nehru smuggled in a device. Soldier? Soldier?
Soldier, show Zara the device.
Sir?
Those are our badges. To show we were part of her crew.
An ingenious deception. Each part on its own serves no function. It appears decorative, and our scans detect nothing of note. But put the two pieces together, and it emits a nodal subwave.
You did not expect to survive, but you hoped we might.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The signal reached your people, the full moon.
That's not a real thing. Is it?
You've harassed us for too long. The Leapers have united, and now we know where you are.
And you are coming to wage war. We can see exactly where you are.
The strategy has worked entirely as the Doctor predicted.
What are you going to do?
We will engage you. A battle at long last.
Attention, all Sontaran units. It is my privilege to stand with you out here today. The humans are amassed just over the line of sight. We shall stand ready as they advance, until they pass the projectors. Then you may charge at your leisure. Doctor, Zara, you stand with us.
Yes, Commander.
It is a great honor, Commander.
Today you will earn your first Sontaran honor when you win your first blood. Be bold, Sontarans. Be brave. Remember the experiments we have taken part in together over these long years. Be merciful. By which I mean, give the humans honorable deaths.
My people don't stand a chance, do they?
The Sontarans are outnumbered 10-1, but their weapons and experience entirely outmatch yours.
The Doctor can't be going to fight. He would have done something. This is a trick.
I cannot see how, but let us hope so.
Watch out! The card!
You rely on hope, humans. That is why you fail and fail again.
I now have visual on the humans, lining the horizon.
I never thought I'd live to see us all standing together.
It would be only too easy just to cut them down with a rapid-firing automatic weapon.
Zara, no!
It is not honorable to
It is not honorable, Zara. We shall fight them hand to hand. Ah, they are moving!
The humans are starting to charge. It's amazing.
The low gravity. It reminds me of where we were before, the young people leaping up into their treehouses.
They're at the projector screens.
And charge! May each of you enjoy a good war, and if necessary, a noble death!
I can't look!
Doctor, do something! Stop this!
He can't hear you! He's too busy running to war!
The Doctor has become a Sontaran. He will not be defeated.
They're almost on them. They're almost... What are they doing?
Armor malfunction! And my gun!
They're on their knees! The Sontarans are all on their knees!
And here, too.
Keep back. I will destroy you if you do not keep back.
How exactly? Your weapons are not working.
Keep back, I tell you. Please!
Look on the screen. Stent and two Sontarans helping him up.
Those two are not Sontarans.
I recognize this. This is treachery.
Go on then, Doctor. You know you want to.
Commander Stent, if I might have your full and total surrender.
The boldness of it. The discipline in maintaining the rules all these years. Truly, you could be a Sontaran.
Thank you, Commander, and you've shown commendable mercy over that time. I've asked the people here to take that into consideration.
Commander, you and your people will be treated well. You will be allowed to continue with your guarding.
Human, you will only have my name, rank, and badge number.
We will, of course, abide by the conventions for the treatment of prisoners of war.
At last, we can exist here with honor. Very well, take me away.
He'll behave himself. I understand the Sontarans better now than I ever really wanted. You shouldn't have any trouble.
Now we know how to immobilize their suits. Thank you, Doctor.
My pleasure.
That's not the word I would use. I can see the toll it's taken on you. All these years...
Every other way seemed sure to end in slaughter. I'm sorry we couldn't save everyone.
Polk can't forgive you. But if it wasn't for you, I don't think there would be any humans left on the moon.
Right, happy endings all round. Let's get going before they think to ask any questions. There we are. Oh. What?
You know what? Things have changed.
Have they?
You knowingly changed history.
It wasn't history if it hadn't happened yet. Besides, who knows what was going to happen?
We did.
You weren't here, and Zara never said anything. You chose not to say anything.
What, and interfere? Interfering is bad.
All right. What have I changed?
The Sontarans were waiting for enough humans to arrive from Earth.
They thought 10,000 was the minimum requirement to make a worthwhile war.
But then there were solar storms. The moon was cut off from Earth.
So no more humans arriving.
The Sontarans ran out of patience and attacked the ones that were here. They wiped them all out, everyone.
When the solar storms passed and communications were re-established, Earth saw what had happened. They sent missiles, destroyed the Sontarans.
So everybody lost. The moon was just a graveyard. But people couldn't stay away forever. They ventured out. They explored the killing grounds. They found the Sontarans' garden in the midst of the ocean of storms.
It inspired them, didn't it?
It haunted them. The desolate beauty of it. How it didn't fit with what they knew about their implacable, merciless enemy.
They preserved the garden. And later, when the moon was terraformed and colonized en masse...
The garden started to grow. The garden where we met you. That was here in the future.
Not anymore. That future has gone.
Because of you. Oh, dear. Oops.
You made sure it was me. You didn't use your powers, even when you were reunited with Abby.
Oh, we didn't do anything. It was all you. No overnight revolution this time. You were playing the long game, a little at a time.
You got it into his mind somehow. You made him do this.
How could she? We didn't have our powers.
You knew what the history was. You could have said something.
Would you really have let everyone die?
We make choices from the best knowledge available.
That isn't the question I asked. But this is the thing. It would have been wrong not to get involved here. Abby and I, we don't always get it right, but we try to use our powers to help, because everything else makes us monsters.
You got inside the doctor's head.
Oh, haven't you been listening? I didn't have any powers.
But he saw what you were doing in the garden in the future. He was impressed by it, despite the damage you have done.
We don't know that saving everyone here has done any damage. Things might be better in the future.
There is no way to tell.
Of course there is. Zara, take my hand.
Wait! Do not...
We've landed. You made us land.
Right back where we started. In the Garden of Storms.
But it's so different. Come on!
Oh, it's amazing!
Coming, Leela.
They took control of the TARDIS. For all their clever arguments, they delight in using their powers. We have to stop them.
I don't know how we stop them. But you're right. This has to end.
Listening to Doctor Who, Wicked Sisters, The Moonrakers by Simon Guerrier. The Doctor was played by Peter Davison, Leela, Louise Jameson, Abby, Kira Jansen, Zara, Laura Doddington, Captain Rhea Nehru, Anjali Mohindra, Stent, Dan Starkey, Polk, Nikki Goldie. All other parts were played by members of the cast. The director was Lisa Bowerman. Producer and script editor, Mark Wright. Executive producers, Nicholas Briggs and Jason Haig-Ellery.
Hello, my name's Mark Wright, and I am the script editor and producer of Doctor Who Wicked Sisters, Episode 2, The Moonrakers.
I've seen Sontaran experiments before. A lot of people will die horribly if we don't stop them.
And we will. We'll get there.
So for episode 2, The Moonrakers, which is my favourite title of the box set, we have the Doctor and Zara arriving in a new environment together. So we've teamed the Doctor and Zara up for episode 2, while Abby and Leela form a team as they try to find them.
Hello, it's Lisa Bowerman here, and I'm director of Wicked Sisters. I think it's great because there's been a real progression since the last time we heard from them, and it's still that notion of the law of unintended consequences. And thrown into that mixture is the morality of trying to change things. And also there's a lot of subverting ideas, especially in The Moonrakers, because obviously it introduces a characters that you think are very warlike, and then you see the strange flip side to them. There's a lot of sort of moral ambiguity in terms of who are the baddies and who are the goodies, and that law of unintended consequences. And it, thrown into that now, putting Doctor and Leela into it, I think has challenged the sisters' ideas brilliantly. And I think Simon's really asked some really interesting questions.
I am Simon Guerrier, and I have written Wicked Sisters. So I've got four leads in this series, four lead actors, bearing in mind that Big Finish does not generally have large casts in their story. So their characters have got to dominate. It's all got to be about these four lead characters. I've also got to make sure that Abby and Zara are distinct and that you understand who they are, even if you've not heard any of their previous adventures. That kind of thing. So what I needed to get in my head was, what is their worldview? What is their perspective on life? How do they see things around them? And how does that clash with the other leads? And so basically they all have to clash. That's the thing. Because if they clash, then it draws out from them how they see things differently. So that was the idea. And also, Leela, Abby and Zara are not the people they were when they first travelled with the Doctor. That I was very keen on that, that they've all matured. That, yes, they've been influenced by their experiences travelling in the TARDIS. Yes, the Doctor has had a profound impact on who they are and how they see things. But a lot of time has passed for them, and they are their own people. So actually the Doctor is on the back foot a lot. And that, again, is a way of kind of driving the dramatic tension and stuff. That what the Doctor says isn't automatically what everybody agrees to.
My name is Peter Davison. I play the fifth Doctor.
Doctor! Zara, you stand with us.
Yes, Commander.
It is a great honour, Commander.
Today you will earn your first Sontaran honour when you win your first blood.
You know, occasionally I get to play an evil version of the Doctor. That's always fun. But this particular instance, I had to be Sontaran-ish, but I also, as was pointed out by Zara in the script, I also had to do it badly, and that is difficult. What point is your performance bad, or are you doing a brilliant performance of someone doing a bad performance of a Sontaran?
I love how we've got the Doctor and Zara being teamed up as they arrive on, as we find out, it's the moon, and we've also got Leela and Abby teaming up. So it's interesting to see how these two pairings work together and how they react together, because originally Amy was created as a companion for the Doctor, while Zara was a bit more of a morally ambiguous and more of a almost a villain. It was almost like, hence we come back to this title of Wicked Sisters.
Hello, my name is Kira Jansen and I play Abby.
And my name is Laura Doddington and I play her sister Zara.
You got it into his mind somehow. You made him do this.
How could she? We didn't have our powers.
You knew what the history was. You could have said something.
Would you really have let everyone die?
We make choices from the best knowledge available.
That isn't the question I asked.
They're such gems, both of them,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, really. And amazing.
Yeah, literally, for me, it's like a masterclass in acting being with them in that room. I'm a bit in love with Peter Davison. I think he's brilliant. I really love him.
Yeah, me too. You know, they're both really approachable and you feel like you can talk to them, and yeah, it's been
yeah, and
really
the stories
lovely.
They have as well about everything. It's just, yeah. It's incredible. It's been such an amazing, amazing 3 days.
Hello, I'm Louise Jameson and I play Leela.
We must prioritise. Find the Doctor and Zara.
They could be anywhere. Where would we even start?
in the storyline, they have to get separated so that their powers are diminished. So we charged off as a couple around the universe. It reminded me slightly of working with Lala. It's very nice as a woman to have a woman to, you know, just bounce off, really. She's such a lovely woman anyway.
On a personal level, she's just so wonderful and everything. And again, she's such an incredible actress. But the script for me as a character was very much about, you know, finding my sister and saving her. So for me, it's the three episodes have been, you know, in that respect, quite similar. But yeah, it's always a lot of fun. Just so much fun.
In The Moonrakers, we also have some fantastic guest stars. We have the fantastic Anjali Mahindra. I was so pleased Anjali was able to come and join us. And she told me it's coming back to do anything Doctor Who is like coming back to family. I first met Anjali at the screening of the final series of the Sarah Jane Adventures following the tragic death of Elizabeth Sladen. And I interviewed all the cast of the Sarah Jane Adventures. So I interviewed Anjali. And it was so lovely just to pick that up again because she remembered me. And that was really lovely. So it was really lovely to chat again, but also to see how far her career has risen in the last few years to becoming, you know, a true television star.
I'm Anjali Mahindra and I am playing Captain Rhea Nehru.
Who are you two? You're not like anyone from Earth.
It is complicated. We are looking for our friends.
But you've beaten Sontarans before. You can help us here.
Captain Rhea Nehru, or Nehru for short, is trying to keep her crew, or as many of her crew, alive as possible, because there's threats from many a direction coming at them that threaten their existence. People like that can often be quite vulnerable to people kind of challenging that, you know, when someone is absolutely certain that this is the way it's got to be. And I think that's what is such a nice dynamic. We're meeting Abby and Leela. Nehru sort of turns to them for help, whereas before she just really wanted to discard them. As a character that you've not played before, or who is new to these aliens, or new to the, not necessarily in Nehru's case, but she doesn't know the Sontarans in the way Rani would know the Sontarans, or at least she's kind of getting up to speed with them, whereas Rani is a dab hand with those guys. So yeah, that's always quite nice. I think people like that exist in the real world. Like, there are women in positions of power and women who are in positions of, like, quick thinking, non-emotional, get on with it type roles. And I think it's really important to reflect that, because I think what often happens when you get a female character like that is people go, no, it's just, no, she's too bossy. Bossy is a word that people don't realise, but is specifically used for females, and it's to describe a woman who has a bit of gall or a bit of, you know, like toughness about her, and doesn't seem to be like worrying about people's feelings necessarily, or certainly doesn't let that compromise the job. So I always think it's brilliant to reflect that.
So it's always great when people with a strong connection to Doctor Who always want to come back and do it for Big Finish, and do it because it's for Doctor Who. So it was lovely having Anjali with us, and we also had lovely Nikki Goldie, who stepped in at the last minute. Lisa Bowerman was able to fill a missing actor in with Nikki at the last second, and she was absolutely lovely to have with us.
My name is Nikki Goldie, and I am playing Polk today. Polk is a gutsy lady, and she and Nehru don't get on particularly well. And they find themselves, despite their rivalry, herself and Nehru, working together.
How are the Sontarans involved?
We don't know. We didn't even know they were here until they attacked my convoy and killed some of my people. The rest of us, they dumped here. We haven't seen them since.
They deliver food.
Don't make any sense. That's how things are.
I did some Big Finish dramas many years ago, possibly 15 years ago. I was murdered, actually, by Mark Gatiss. I have very happy memories, and I'm so delighted to be here again, particularly after the fantastic day I've had with all the lovely people. And it's been an absolute joy.
Well, the one thing I really like about Moonrakers is the involvement of the Sontarans. Because we were returning to the Doctor Who universe, we could have Doctor Who monsters. Simon originally wanted to use the Ogrons, but that would have clashed with another production coming up. So it was suggested by the powers that be at Big Finish that we could use the Sontarans, which works I think, even better than the Ogrons. Simon really went into their nature.
I'm Dan Starkey, and I'm playing Stent and various other Sontarans.
Killing us would serve no military purpose for the glorious Sontaran army.
My friend has been through a lot, which is why she's sounding...
Almost Sontaran. It is a marked improvement.
This is a very fun script, and Stent is an interesting character because he's a Sontaran who's kind of like trapped and trying to make the best of a bad situation. You know, not unlike Strax, who's like is a fish out of water, but this guy is very different as well, because now we have these Sontarans doing a bit of art therapy to look after their sort of like preserve their fragile mental state on the moon. And Stent is, yeah, Stent's actually he's interesting. He's quite curious. He's quite a student of, so like, human nature. He doesn't understand it because he's a Sontaran, but he's very, so like, willing to, so like, experiment and prod. And so, yeah, it's very interesting how the Doctor and Zara, they try and meet the Sontarans halfway by aping their body language and stuff. So it's very good. It's very good from what you've saw. Simon's written it very nicely. So there's a lot of Sontaran psychology in there, which is it's quite interesting to explore.
And all there's perhaps something comedic about Sontarans becoming gardeners and rejecting war, there's a practicality to it. I think it's a really clever examination of the nature of Sontarans, that this is the situation they're in, and they are adapting to their situation as soldiers do. But the concept of Sontarans becoming rock gardeners and Zen sand gardeners, I think, is spectacularly funny.
They're quite rigid and sort of like structured, and they don't understand anything outside the parameters of war, but I think depending on the extreme situations they find themselves in, it always does change. They're at home in battle shooting things up, but outside that world of intense combat, then they sometimes struggle, and it's kind of like it's a meeting of immovable objects and unstoppable forces. But it's a nice, and this is a very nice examination of that.
Well, we were talking earlier on about subverting ideas of particular aliens that have turned up in or characters that have turned up in Doctor Who, and this idea that the Sontarans have converted their warlike tendencies into doing sort of peace gardens, you know, Japanese gardens. I think that sort of juxta is hysterical. I mean, it's not hysterical, but it's not an idea that you'd automatically come up with. I think it's genius.
With Dan being here, there's sort of element. I had to pretend to be, I always want to say Sultana. But Sontaran today, you know, and to watch him kind of doing that and adding what could become, I think, you know, when I thought about it could become quite monotonous, and he isn't at all, and me kind of going, oh god, I think mine sounds monotonous and his is really good. I mean, I didn't know anything about the Sontaran, so I had to do my research, and you know, that was quite a challenge today, which I quite liked.
It's interesting because I did do an episode of Graceless, and it's got a very different flavour to Doctor Who, but it's interesting seeing this crossover in between the Doctor's world and so like the world of Graceless as well. And it's kind of like the Doctor's slightly on the back foot in this story, at least, sort of quite a bit. And it's nice. It's like, you know, back in the day, the Doctor Who magazine, Doctor Who Weekly backup strip, which would explore, you know, sort of different corners of the Hooniverse and sort of, you know, what Cybermen do on their day off and so forth. So it's great. It's lovely.
Blows me away, Dan, with his talent. I did one story that he wrote, forgive me, I can't remember the title of it, and of course he's allowed half a dozen more characters than the rest of us because he can just get up and do them, and you absolutely would not know it was the same person. He was giving us all Sontaran lessons in the green room just now, what you do with your, you know, your throat, your vocal cords, where you place the voice, and whether we're a classic Sontaran or a modern Sontaran and how different they are and what the rhythm is and hit the end of the line. I mean, it's very, very well thought out. It's not just, you know, randomly an actor coming in doing silly voices. It's incredibly talented and connected and technically very accomplished.
Rather than opening this, like, the obvious vocals to, like, things about the hoarseness and the accent, it's about the intention behind it. So it's the... It's, you know, nothing has any validity unless it's through military tactics. And its whole thing is, it's almost like someone speaking English as a second language or someone who doesn't get the joke. It's always got that slight of discrepancy in between, you will understand this because I have told you. There's no... Why are we doing this? Because I tell you to. Yeah, there's a bit missing in between the Sontarans and who they're talking to.
He plays it with conviction and complete understanding. And I mean, like any comedy character, that you have to find a grain of truth in there all the time. Well, not a grain of truth. You have to play it straight. Otherwise, you know, that they... You're not really that interested in a sort of cipher.
It is amazing to work with actors like Dan, who has such sort of versatility, especially when the first thing you do is hear him before you see him, because he's in a different booth to you. It was a revelation, may I say. Yeah, fantastic.
Most of the time with these, I do the classics of Kevin Lindsay Sontaran, which is down here, and his very received pronunciation with occasional Australian twang.
But then you've got the Derek Deadman invasion of I will duff you up something chronic time lord. It was a bit more Westeron and sort of he really relishes his words. But also it's a nature of the mask was so heavy in the 70s prosthetic that you've really got to force a performance through that as well. With the prosthetics that I wore, they were very responsive and very sensitive, so it's much easier to get your performance through that. But I can imagine when you've got literally a wall of latex in between your face and the camera, then you've got to bash through it in some way. So yeah, I can see why those choices were made.
One of my favourite things from our week of recording was Dan Starkey's Sontaran school, because we have to have the Doctor and Zara taking on the nature of Sontarans, because they are with them for such a long time they begin to act like Sontarans. So Dan in the green room was instructing Peter Davison and Laura Doddington on the essential nature of classic series Sontarans, to explain the difference between classic Sontarans and new series Sontarans. And Dan knows this stuff inside out. He is the authority on Sontarans and can slip into the different styles of Sontarans that have been seen over the years. But to come in over the morning and be sitting there in the green room with a coffee having Sontaran school is a memory that will stick with me for a very long time.
Yes, I've decided that it's not so easy being a Sontaran. I'm going to leave it to Dan. Not only is it difficult to do voice-wise, but the makeup's horrible. So I don't envy him that anyway. But fortunately, we didn't make him do that here today.